This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, hello, it's 4:06. Again,
4:06, and I'm back.
Yeah, you're back. You're in studio.
I'm in the studio.
No more of this social distancing on the phone.
No, geez, Louise, 10 miles away, you know, it's hard to hear you.
It is.
No, like I was telling you earlier, it's really strange when you've done it here in the studio on a microphone and you see all the clocks and you get calls and there you are on your phone.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in a chair thinking, what am I going to say next? I don't know, because there wasn't, we have some interaction in
right.
here. So it's on the phone, it's kind of hard to do that.
Hard to see me.
Yeah, I mean, that's for sure. I looked through them little holes in the phone and I couldn't see it at all.
Mm. Well, I lost my train of thought. It's good to see you, I guess.
That's okay. Trains are a dime a dozen. Don't worry about
true.
It. Well, first of all, Wintergreen Nursery is open.
Oh, I know what I was going
to say. 6 days a week, 9 to 5. We are not closed. We are
not closed.
Not closed. We're only closed on Sunday because we need a day off. But
yes.
But, you know, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, and I'm usually there at 6 in the morning. So if you want to be an early bird, my truck's in the parking lot. Just bang on the door.
If your truck's there, you're home.
I'm there. I'm always there, it seems. But anyway, I'm glad to be back in the studio. And if you want to call the nursery and find out anything, 679-8224 is the number. And we got lots of stuff in there now. It's looking good. And all our plants are virus-free, so you don't have to sweat it. You can even breathe on them. You can touch them. We're good to go. But at any rate, thank you for listening. And if you have any questions about your lawn, your garden, your tomato plants that are already been frozen 6 times, and you want some new ones, no problem. We got more.
You can replace them.
You can replace them. And but if you do have a question of any sort that has to do with your yard or trees, shrubs, etc., 673-4464 is the number, and you can call. And we'll say hello, and then you'll ask the question. I'll give you the answer. We'll have a conversation, and you'll know everything I know on that. How's that?
That sounds good. By the way, we're about 6 feet apart, in case anybody's...
Well, actually, 5'11".
5'11", yeah.
But who's counting?
So we're still keeping our distance.
Yes, yes. And I got a paper bag over my head, so that's my mask with eye holes.
Oh, a Trump mask.
Yeah, I know. Well, anyway, we'll get on with the show, I think.
Okay.
In the last week, the gardeners are coming out of the woodwork, and they're coming into the nursery. It's amazing how busy it's been. And, you know, they're ready to get dirty in their yards, and it's there's a real interest, it seems, in cleaning your yard and planting new shrubs and flowers and trees and all that. And, you know, if you've gotten laid off or you're part-time, and then the weather's been beautiful.
Oh, yes.
Today has been the coldest day in about the last 5, I think.
I think so.
With the clouds and stuff.
Would you say it was 70?
Well, it was 70 in Winston when I left, and then I pulled into the parking lot here. It was either 67 or 68 out in the parking lot.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, and that's... But when you hit 70, you lose 3 degrees, it's kind of chilly, you know?
Yeah, you can feel that breeze.
Yeah, when my windows are all down and I'm sucking all that air, you know? But anyway, it's a great time to plant. And it's a great time, if you're not doing anything at work, to, put a new deck on or landscape your yard, put in a sprinkler system, you know, good small little jobs. Enough to drive you nuts.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. And... And just think, the government tells people to stay at home, then they go shopping for plants. How's that for political disobedience or something? Yeah. but anyway, who wants, you know, with this kind
shame
of weather?
Shame on you.
I know, shame on me, and shame on the governor, too. With this kind of weather, who wants to stay at home and not do anything? You know, I don't. I mean, the TV only gets so weird after a while. But I believe that it's totally safe to plant some veggies now. Seeds or plants will work fine. You know, if you want to plant your seeds, that's okay, because I don't think we're going to have any killing frost from here on out. I believe that if we you know. But if we got a foot of snow next week, all bets are off. You know, I've never seen it. Maybe it has snowed here in April. I don't recall that it has. But,
I don't know,
and I've been here since 1969, so I haven't seen.
Yeah, I was born
in April snow.
I was born in 56. I don't remember.
Well, it snowed really big that year.
Did it?
Yeah, it was 58 feet. You know,
I was born, hardly see
the trees, and I was wondering what was going on. Of course, I was seven or something like that, or six. No, seven.
Well, you were just a youngin.
I was just a kid. But we've been pulling plants out of our greenhouse for the last week, so I'm confident that we are totally into spring at this point. I'm hoping for some more rains, you know, to kind of keep the ground kind of moist and all that. But
there is a slight chance of showers.
Yeah, I don't want a slight chance. If it's going to rain, let it rain for about 5 hours and then quit.
And then quit.
You know, then we're done. And the slight chance of showers, you know, what was last week or so? And yeah. I kept waiting. And I used my windshield once, I think, for about 2 seconds.
Right.
And that's it? Come on. Is that the best you can do?
It's rather irritating.
It is. Either rain or whatever.
Yeah. Get off the pot.
Okay. I'm not on pot. Okay. But, you know, my favorite months when it comes to weather are April, May, June, and October. I mean, April, you know, this nice weather. May is nice. June is fairly nice. I really don't like July and August, but or even September sometimes. But October is nice because it's starting to cool down again and get out. And, you know, it's very pretty. Mm-hmm. Like this next 2 months, very pretty out there. The leaves are coming on. I mean, it looks great. You know, all of a sudden there's leaves everywhere where 2 weeks ago there weren't.
There wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, there was a few, you know, a few things here and there that were pushing. But now it's like, man, it's like Douglas County again. It's got leaves on the trees,
like
man. We're doing
seems
good.
Seems like it has more meaning this year than past.
Right. But, you know, if I'd been in, since I only like, what, April, May, June, and October, I figured if I'd been in charge of our year, I'd only have 4 months in that year. They'd be long months, too.
Oh, yeah.
They'd be 90-day months.
There you go. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. So, but with this type of weather, it's, you know, time to check your sprinkler systems and do whatever repairs are needed. And don't wait until June and then find a broken pipes or broken sprinkler heads because you hadn't turned it on, you know, for 6 months or 5 months or whatever. And when I say check them, I'm saying just turn them on, you know, if you have an automatic system. Hit one zone and make sure all the heads pop up. There's no broken lines. And then go to the next zone. They're on, you know, maybe a couple of minutes. And then you go to the next zone, check it out, make sure nothing's blown up over the winter. And, you know, so that when it does get warmer, more consistent warmth, like 80, 85 degrees, you know that they're ready to go. You're not not trying to repair that broken main line that somehow got broken that you overlooked.
In the heat of the summer,
and the lawn's kind of brownish or kind of yellowish, and the shrubs are going, hey, man, can I have a drink?
Help me.
I need a drink. Turn on that thing, man.
Had it last year.
Yeah, I know. But if you just, you know, check it out, check your system out, and then let it rest and wait another week or so. And I'm going to go through some scenarios there later as to when to turn it on, how to, and do some more checking around. But it's interesting because I was thinking we're currently doing a landscape rehab project, and it's a home that was probably landscaped, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, maybe 18 years ago. And these new folks bought it, and it's a mess. And he says, yeah, I want it cleaned up, and I want this, and I want that, and just make it pretty. That's what he told me. Just make it pretty. I said, okay. We can do that. We can do that.
Where do you want me to start?
Yeah, well, you start with the automatic sprinkler system that's in the ground. So my brother Steve and I, we go over there prior to starting the job just to kind of get the feel for it. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, to give them a bid and how much it's going to cost and that kind of thing. And so we hit the controller, and I'm over looking at the zones, and he's by the controller. And we found 19 broken heads.
Uh-oh.
I think it was 19. And we found that the main line was, And I was standing by the lawn, all of a sudden there's water bubbling up out of the ground. There used to be a sprinkler head there, but it wasn't there anymore.
Wow.
So, you know, you mark the spots and you go through zone by zone. And it took us a few hours because it's a pretty large yard, and I think it's got 12 zones on it. Mm. So, you know, you have to go to each part of the yard, and, of course, the house is in the way, so you can't just look across the way.
Right,
you
got to
go
right.
around the behind. And, and some of the shrubs were so huge and overgrown, you couldn't see the sprinkler head, but you could hear it.
Hear it.
It's going, shh,
yeah.
And you go, okay, that one's working, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, and like I say, we found 19 heads that were malfunctioning, not working at all, broken off. And had we not checked it and done all this landscaping and then turned it on, then we would have messed up our own work.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's where you start.
Yeah.
You start with the basics and say, hey, okay, is it working or not? Now, if you've got a manual system, it's the same thing, only it's, you know, you just turn the valve and watch them and say, hey, that looks good. But now's the time to get that done because the ground's still wet. The ground's still moist. It doesn't need a whole lot of moisture right now. But in a week or 2 weeks, you know, that's when they should be really going and settled into a schedule, et cetera. And you don't want to wait till the last minute on that, or you start losing things. And the lawn, then you got to play rehab on the lawn,
right.
Or you got to replant some more shrubs because they dried out or whatever. You know, so it's a good idea to get on that and get going with
get
that.
Get her done, baby.
Yeah, get it done. And, you know, so when all those steps were done, we knew, you know, how many shrubs we could plant and be covered by the system. That was another thing because there were some shrubs that were so overgrown, we had to remove them or cut them way back. So we created space. Now, therefore, new shrubs are going to go in. So you got to make sure that the existing system is going to cover that new shrub. So that was another reason we had to turn it on. And then the other day, you know, we thought it was all fixed.
Yeah.
And then the other day, where the main box of valves are, there's about 6 valves in this one box. Whoever put it together, I don't know, they must have been, I don't know, I'm not going to say anything. But anyway, we noticed that water was squirting out of the box. And what? We hadn't seen that before because it was, I don't know, wet anyway. But it was running down, and we opened the box, and one of the pipes in the middle had a crack in it. And so there's like 6 valves, real tight, too. You can hardly work on them because they're so stinking tight together. And so just I had to go back to the owner and say, look, we found something else. And I give him a price. He says, yeah, just get it done. And but it's all taken 2 full days just to repair that part of it because you have to undo all those things to get to the main pipe so you can replace the main pipe and then put it all back together again.
What a pain.
Oh, yeah. And then when you do that, you're cutting plastic pipe, so you can't use the same pipe. You've got to get all new pieces and redo the puzzle. And, it's like it's just painstakingly slow because once you glue the pipe, it has to set for a while, especially in cooler weather. It has to set a while so that the PVC and the cement that you use bonds and then we get all that done, turn on the system. And there's a swimming pool in the backyard, and then there's like a little pool house or a storage house on the end of that patio. And we go to look at one of my guys went over and said, hey, there's water running out from under the pool house. Whoa.
Are you kidding me?
That's exactly what I said. Are you kidding me? And then the water was running from under where the wood hits the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
The water was squirting through there. So when whoever built the pool house, they built it right on top of the pipe, and the weight of the pool house had cracked the pipe.
Well, that
or
was
whatever.
A genius move.
Oh yeah, it was. So, and just then the owner came home for lunch and said, "Hey, this is what happened." But luckily, there's the good part. Luckily, when they built the pool house, there was a strawberry garden back there, but there's no strawberry garden because it's all concrete now.
No.
So we just cut that and made that null and void. so we didn't have to repair that. But someday somebody might have to get in there and repair it. But it was
Wow. Like, yeah, right.
You go, oh, geez, Louise.
Is this
you
a
got
good
a break?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
All right. I'll be back. Whoa. We'll be right back.
Blast my eardrums out.
Yeah, a couple of minutes here with more Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty. It's 424 and a nice day here in the valley. And it's just right for gardening. Or...
Absolutely, man. It's perfect because you won't even work up a sweat on a day like today.
Nah, it's beautiful. Perfect.
Unless you work it really, really fast and really, really hard.
That's not my mode.
But that's not fun.
No.
That's not fun garden work.
I can't do that anymore. It's slow.
I can't either. I'm very slow anymore. That's why I hire young guys.
There you go.
they got all the energy. I don't.
That's right.
Oh, gosh.
Let them young studs do
it. So, anyway, I was just in the last segment, I was talking about a rehab that we were doing and all the sprinklers that we had to, repair and put in and just redo the whole thing. But one important factor, and this goes for, the first-time homeowner that's installing a system or if you're replacing heads from an existing system, you want to use the same type of sprinkler heads to ensure equality throughout the whole zone. In other words, there's, dozens of types of sprinkler heads that you can buy out there. Some are large, some are small, some are tiny, So what you want to do when I say equality, you want to balance the zone. If you have a lawn zone and say it has eight pop-up sprinkler heads on it, just a little round black pop-up ones, 12-foot radius, that kind of thing. And two of them are broken, and you go to Ajax, whatever, and buy two sprinkler heads, but they're not the same kind. They operate differently. They have a different gallons per minute or a different spray pattern or something like that. But you buy them because they're cheap or something. And the sprinkler heads, right? So you put them on and you turn on the zone. Nine times out of ten, there's an inequality of spray, especially on a lawn, is if you have the majority of your sprinkler heads are going out on a 12-foot radius and they're, say, using 2 gallons per minute per head, and these two new ones are half of that and not shooting where you want them to shoot, right away you've got an imbalance in your lawn, and part of your lawn is not going to be getting the water that it needs.
Sure.
The sprinkler heads may not even be reaching it, and since they're maybe a low gallonage head, they're not putting as much out per minute, so consequently you got problems, and you're thinking, what's wrong with my lawn? Well, what's wrong with your lawn is the different sprinkler heads and you can go the opposite way and get, if you got the pop-ups and you say, well, these here are bigger and we'll put them on because they'll fit. Mm-hmm. And you put them on and they're shooting like 20 feet. So you've got, and they're using more gallons per minute than your pop-up ones. So that robs the pop-up ones. So they're not doing an efficient job as it was designed. Mm-hmm. And these other two that you replace that are shooting 20 feet are sucking up all the water and the pressure and they're throwing things out there. So
once again, you're defeating your purpose.
Exactly. And once again, you're wasting your time, yeah, your effort, your energy, and your money, okay? So make sure you balance it. Get the same types of heads. But if there are old, ancient heads that have been in the ground from, you know, when from Columbus came to America, take them all out and put all brand new ones in.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the little pop-ups are, you know, $6 a piece or something like that. You know, it depends on where you go.
And they're probably available anywhere.
You can go to Lowe's or Home Depot or Corks, which is now a different name out there. It's out there by the co-op out past the college. It's a sprinkler place and pipes and all that. Where the old auction yard used to be, right across the street from that. And there's a trailer place
Right
next to But they've got everything. And, you know, Handyman Hardware is another place. He's Wayne Dodge down there. He's got lots of
stuff. He's a good guy.
I like him. We've been friends for 100 years now. And but anyway, get the same heads. And so that when your system is balanced and all the heads are equally spraying the same amount of water, that means your lawn or your shrubs, whatever, it's equalized. It's in the long run more healthy, less waste, less problems in the long run. That's how it works.
Yeah.
It's like if you had a car and you got 18-inch tires and you buy a 16-inch one for the left front and you wonder why that sucker's pulling to the left all the time.
Yeah, what's wrong with it?
And it keeps going flat on me, man, because it ain't balanced. That's why.
Genius.
So, yeah. So, you know, if you don't do that, you know, some parts of your lawn are dry and some parts of the lawn are drenched and like a swamp, and you can't figure out why the grass is reacting the way it is.
It is,
I mean, why are those hooping cranes on that side of my lawn?
Swimming around.
Swimming around. And there's lizards on the other side because it's so stinking dry. But, you know, that's just good for your lawn. That's good for your water bill, and it's good for your sanity as well.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, like I said, here's the math. A pop-up spray, you know, head operates at about, say, 1.5 gallons a minute, and a stream rotor, which is the bigger one, the next bigger one you get, that puts out about 3 or more gallons per minute, but they're all adjustable. And so if your lawn is receiving twice as much water as another part of the lawn, again, there's your problem.
There you go.
So put them all on the same. Get them the same. I don't care if you like the color or not. Just make sure they're all the same.
You can't see them anyway.
Right. And they all got to operate on the same pressure and the same gallons per minute, mm-hmm, because when you do the math, when we figure out a sprinkler system and, you know, how far do we have to have it shoot? How many gallons a minute do we have at the meter? Because let's say you have 30 gallons a minute coming into the meter.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you put on, say, 8 heads at 1.5 to 2 gallons per minute, you get good coverage. If you put on 12 heads, you get not as good coverage because you're sucking all the water out, plus you're minus a few gallons per minute.
Yeah, stealing water.
Exactly. Do we have a call or
something? We do.
All right,
we do have a call.
Woo-hoo.
Hello there. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
This is Sharon, and I have a question for you about beans. I planted beans last year, and I want to plant them again in the same spot. Mm-hmm. So I dug it out and put in some good potting soil,
uh-huh,
and about, it's probably about 5 or 6 inches deep. And what else do I need to put in there so I don't, you know, so there's enough new stuff for them to grow there? Or do you have to worry about rotating?
Are you thinking fertilizer at this point or what?
I don't know what. That's why I'm kind of asking.
Okay, well, if you do fertilizer, just get a all-around low-percentage type fertilizer for shrubs, and go lightly and see.
For shrubs?
Yeah, for shrubs. Go lightly, or go lightly, even if it's a lawn, go lightly, and then you can...
No, it's beans. It's green beans to eat.
I know. Well, it's a shrub, basically. It's vegetable, it's a shrub.
On the bolt. Okay.
I know. I'm just playing with you.
Okay.
But whatever you fertilize them with, just go lightly and see what the net result is. And if they look good and they're vigorous and they're growing well, you can, again, you know, a few weeks later or a month later, you can put on a little bit more. And it's better just to kind of watch them closely, see how they respond each time you fertilize. And if it's doing good, at a certain point, you're going to stop fertilizing because it's going to be producing your product, your produce that you want. And then and that's when you stop fertilizing, because you want that energy to go into the vegetable production or the fruit production, whatever you're growing. And it does much better at that point.
Okay.
Makes sense
to you? I usually plant them. I mean, they usually bloom in September and or make beans. I thought if I got them in earlier, because I have a small greenhouse now, I thought I'd plant them in there and then transfer them into the garden in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll think they'll produce before September.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. You know, and with this weather like we're having, it'd be, you know, if you want to plant them now, you can too.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think I'll do half and half.
Yeah, there you go. Just in case it snows a foot in April and we do it totally unexpected, right?
Yeah, right.
Right.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, Sharon. All righty. Good time for a break. Huh?
Okay, let's take a break then.
All righty. Be right back in a couple of minutes with more Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're all ready to roll.
We are back, eh?
Yep, sir.
Well, you know what? If anybody has a question out there about their lawns, garden, trees, shrubs, petunias, whatever, the number here is 673-4464, and you can ask your question. I gave you an answer, and you can try out my answer, and I guarantee it'll work, okay?
There you go.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
I've only done this for 150 years, I think, so I should know something.
Yeah.
And people don't pay me if I don't do it right, so I have to do it right. Anyway, I was talking about in the last segment mostly about sprinkler systems and getting them going and checking them out before the watering season actually gets here. It's not really the watering season yet, but we're getting close. So this is when you do the repairs and all that kind of stuff. And then the next step is after you've tested it and seen that it's working, then you shut it down. And so you know it's going to work for this coming year. So when do you turn it on for the real deal, you know? Well, you wait till it gets warmer. You wait till it gets sunnier. You know, we might have a torrential rainstorm in April or another one in May, and you won't be using it as much.
Now, that has known to be happening.
Yeah, I know that. I've seen it. I've been rained out before. But, you know, if it were to just consistently get warmer, you know, from here on out with little or no rain, then you know, hey, it's time to turn it on. And So it's been tested. You know it's going to work. The sun is shining, and you're going, oh, my gosh, I better turn this thing on. Better turn it. You know it's going to work. So step one, you know, first of all, dig around in your lawn. Little small holes. Doesn't have to be big, huge holes. If you you want to see if the soil under the sod, under the grass roots, is damp. Is it moist? Is it dry? Is it soaking wet? You want to see that before you really turn on it. Just, you know, two or three holes kind of in different parts of the yard. And just take a good shovel with a good sharp edge and, you know, just dig a little hole and get down to the dirt. Look at the dirt. Is it wet? Is it okay? Well, you know, that's an indicator. If it's dry, you got to turn it on. You know it's time to turn on the system. If it's wet, maybe not so much. You can wait a little bit. A little bit longer. and if it's real soaky, you know, hey, I don't have to turn this thing on for another couple of weeks. But
yeah.
It'll give you an idea about when to start up the system. It's not because it's April 15th you turn on the system because it may not. Why waste the water? Why pay the higher water bill if you don't have to? And why cause problems? Now, if it's dry several inches down, hey, then it's time to turn it on now. And when you turn it on, go for it. I mean, just really set it up so it's doing. And if the soil is moist, like I said, you can wait another 5 to 7 days, maybe a week, and then check the soil again because you'll have already dug the hole. And you can always put the soil back in, then put the little piece of sod back in and just kind of stamp on it. It won't hurt anything. And when I say rain, you know, a quarter to a half inch, you got to have at least that for me to make it rain. You know, if it's just a sprinkling, that doesn't count because it doesn't even penetrate the sod at all.
It's kind of like a dusting of snow.
Right, exactly, a dusting of snow. Hits the ground, melts, you know. Yeah. But, you know, now, like I say, if it's very wet, you dig down there, don't have to water for a couple more weeks. It's like I say, it's very important to check at least three different spots. Maybe you've got one spot that's lower, and you've got a lawn that kind of goes uphill a little bit. You know, not steep or anything, but it's an uphill slope. Yeah. Check the uphill part, check the downhill part, and check the middle. You know, and that way you'll get it. And that way you understand, and you'll get some sense of what your soil actually is and what it needs, and how that all works. Mm-hmm. So that'll save you dollars in the long run. That'll save your landscape in the long run, and you're good to go. Now, like I say, after you're done digging your little piece of sod out, you can put the sod back in, tamp it down with your foot, and then you can eliminate any air pockets. And just remember where it was, because if you're going to check it again in, say, a week, you can just kind of, you don't even need a shovel then. Just take the grass, pull it out, comes out, and you go, okay, it's wet or it's dry. You know, But now, planting beds are a little bit different, and that's, you know, planting beds with shrubs and mulch and that kind of stuff. Bark, you know, is 3 inches deep or 4 inches deep, and the bark actually holds more moisture in. It may look brown and dry on top, but you dig down there an inch or so, and you start seeing moisture. but the root systems of shrubs and trees go deeper into the soil, so you gotta, you know, really take the bark away. We have a call?
We do.
Oh, I'm sorry. Why didn't you throw something at me? Hello.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Good. And yourself?
Good. I'm just here rattling away. How can I help you?
Okay, I have a tree question. Okay. I planted a handful of fir trees the end of October, beginning November. Mm-hmm. When should I water them this summer, and how much should I water them?
Are they like in your yard or on a hill or what?
Okay, so they're kind of on a bank. Pretty much a hillside with a south-facing slope.
Mm-hmm. And they're Douglas fir?
Yeah, Douglas fir.
Okay. Well, on a south slope with Douglas fir, you might want to give them a little bit of water in July and August. But normally, like I've done a lot of reforestation way back when I was a lot younger, and we planted thousands and thousands of trees on slopes, and they never got watered except what, you know, came down in the rain. And you have very little loss. The worst thing you can do is to overwater them, because then you rot the roots. But, you know, if it's in your yard or close to your yard where you can put a little bit of water on them if it gets real hot, real dry, you know, once once or twice in a month, maybe in mm-hmm. July and August, you're good to go. They'll be fine.
Okay, now what about the grass? Should I knock the grass down, spray the grass?
Yeah. The grass is in direct competition for that water and any nutrition. Okay. And if you fertilize them, the grass is gonna, it's got more roots, and it's the, at that point in time, the dominant plant, and that will suck right. all the moisture and all the fertilizer, and not all of it, but most of it, away from the seedling. So it's good to are these already planted?
Oh, yeah, they're in. Well, they weren't planted. They were bare root.
Okay, yeah, but, I mean, they were planted here recently into the ground, right?
The end of October.
End of October, okay. So
yeah, early November.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to spray the grass, make sure you shield the tree. Don't do it on a windy day, and just maybe put a piece of cardboard or even a cardboard box over it, or a sleeve of some sort over it, so the spray doesn't get on you, and get real close and give it a good spray out about 2 feet, 3 feet, and then it has no competition.
All right. Well, thank you.
Well, you're sure welcome. Happy planting.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir.
So.
All righty. We're at 4:45. Lines are open again.
Okay. And what's the number, huh? You don't know it, do you? 673-4464.
Don't do that to me.
I know. I like to catch you once in a while, you know?
I know my cell phone number. But
anyway, I was talking about... your planting beds where you have bark mulch and shrubs and things like that. They're a little different in your checking on them for the moisture content, because the root systems of shrubs and trees go deeper into the soil, and they're usually more massive, of course, than grassroots. But grassroots, there's a lot of them, but they're small. But again, dig about 3 test holes in different parts of the planting bed. And the more the better, just that way you're giving your soil a checkup. And if it looks, like I say, bark mulch looks dry and brown on top, well, that's because it's exposed to the sunlight. And you dig down there about 4 inches before you even get into the soil part of it, you're going to find dampness, because the bark mulch is really good on conserving moisture. And that's why we use it a lot in landscaping, simply because in the middle of June or July, there's still some coolness to the root systems of the shrubs and trees that are planted in a bark bed. And that's really a great thing. They used to burn that stuff in them wigwam burners. And, man, I'll tell you what, they make a lot more money selling bark mulch than they did when they was burning it.
That's what a waste to burn it.
What a waste, yeah. But anyway, you check that out, and you'll see, well, I need to water, or I don't need to water for a few weeks. If it's damp, leave it alone. If it's bone dry, hit it. But it won't be bone dry this time of year. So once you begin your regular watering, you're going to set your controller clock to, say, once a week for lawns. That's all it needs, once a week. And maybe every 10 days for shrubs and trees, if that, because you're going to continually look and educate yourself as to what is your moisture needs for your shrubs or your lawn as the year goes by. And if you do that pretty much after 1 year, if you follow through on a program like this for this year, you won't ever have to do it again unless you want to, because you'll know the feel of your yard. You know what your soil is doing. You're watching your shrubs or your lawn grow, and you can tell, yeah, I need to water, or I don't need to water. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, once you set your clock, you don't want to put that puppy on every day, for sure. And I mean, and I repeated this 1,000, 12,000 times, don't overwater. Do overwater the lawn, don't overwater the shrubs, don't overwater anything, because it rots the roots. It creates a very unhealthy landscape, because not only does it rot the roots, but there are certain bugs that love to live in those really super damp conditions, and they'll destroy your plants too. So whatever you plant in there is going to be, facing an uphill battle all the time.
Yeah.
So when you water the lawn, like I say, for maybe once a week, 30 minutes, that's it. Put your timer on for 30 minutes, and in 30 minutes once a week, it's great.
Good
now,
to go.
You get into June, it's warmer a little bit in June, but July and August, or and even September, are the hot months. You could probably bump up your time to 45 minutes or even 60 minutes on your once a week watering. And if you check your soil during that time and you think it's still not getting enough, maybe do it twice a week. But crank the clock back to about, 40 minutes or something like that. But the thing is, you want to do a deep soak because you don't want the water just to remain on top because the roots do not remain on top.
Right.
And the deeper you soak it, the deeper the roots go, the better the lawn gets, the stronger it gets, and the less disease and all that other kind of thing that they're not susceptible to. So now, in the shrub zones, it's even less type of water, and another thing too, always water in the early morning or the late afternoon or evening after the heat of the sun is past. June 21st, longest day of the year, the sun's up till what, 9 o'clock or something like
yeah.
that. Okay, at 9:05, begin your watering, or 9:30, begin your watering. Set your clock for that time because then, there's not going to be any real evaporation. There's going to be some evaporation taking place, but not a whole lot. And in early morning, 5 in the morning, have it set if that's what you want, and get it done before 6. And then there's very little evaporation occurring, even in the hot part of the summer, because there's no sunshine and there's no real sun activity there. So you're way ahead of the game, and the majority of the water gets down into the plants where that's where you want it to be. You're looking at me like we need a commercial?
We do.
Okay.
Well, you're getting good.
Well, have that evil look in your eye, and I said, I overspoke.
All righty. On that note, we'll be back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show right here at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we have solved the flu problem.
Yeah, we're all clean here, and we kicked them out.
Yeah. Lysol works wonders.
That's right. Lysol, geez Louise. Oh gosh. Anyway, I've been talking about watering and how to water, and don't water in the heat of the day. And I've had some clients. Some clients, but some people call me at the nursery sometime and say, I've got my lawn in. It's not a big lawn, and I'm watering twice a day, and blah 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 blah. And I go, you're watering twice a day. How come? Well, I water 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes at night.
Yeah,
that doesn't do a bit of good. It does not. It what it does is settles the dust. So if you think you're helping your lawn or your shrubs by doing 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes in the evening, like on a lawn, that 10 minutes worth of water doesn't even penetrate the grass, for crying out loud. It just washes the dust off. Now, with shrubs, it might help a little bit in cooling the leaves off, but it does not get down to the root systems where it belongs. And also, I've had some folks say, every afternoon, 3 o'clock, I hit it for 10 minutes. Well, 7 or 8 minutes of that water is going up into the sky as evaporation. It's not even hitting the ground, for crying out loud. So what I'm telling you about water is important. If you want to have a good landscape, a healthy landscape, one that looks good all the time, follow these instructions. It'll work for you. And it'll be long lasting, and all the plants and everything will get rooted in and thrive, and your water bill will be cut in half, for crying out loud. So
that's what counts.
Yeah, that's what counts. And water being the commodity that it is, and there's more and more people using it, consequently the price goes up.
Yep.
You know, for I got a client that has a very good sized swimming pool. And she had a leak in her swimming pool and said, hey, my sprinkler system, something wrong with my sprinkler system. Whoa, on my water, I used 163,000 gallons last month. I said, whoa.
Mama.
So we went through the whole sprinkler system. This is a pretty good sized place. And we turned on the zones. We couldn't find any leaks anywhere. Well, it turned out our swimming pool had developed a crack in one of the walls in the swimming pool. Yeah, and they have this automatic refill kind of set up to where if the water level drops or it just refills automatically. Well, it was running nonstop for like a month or two.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, we got a call.
Okay, well, I like calls.
All right. Well, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hey, Mike. I have a clump birch.
Yes.
That's it may be like 7 or 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It's 20 feet tall. And after the snow, I trimmed some of the bottom leaves that were hanging, or branches that were hanging way down to the ground.
Yep.
And now this spring, it's kind of dripping orange sappy looking stuff.
When did you prune these?
Right after the snow last year.
Last year, and it's dripping. How big were the limbs that you pruned? I mean, what were they, like an inch in diameter or larger?
Yeah, maybe one or two a little bigger than that.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I had that same experience pruning some larger birches here after that snow. And what I did is with the black tree tar, I thought I could stop it, but that didn't stop it. So I put a heavy-duty cloth over the cut and put string around it so it'd stay in place. And then I sprayed tree seal on top of the little on top of the cloth, and that stopped it because it was practically pouring out. I mean, it was running out, and I thought, oh gosh, I killed the tree. And it wasn't my tree, it was for a client, so I had to fix it. And this year it healed, and last year it did well, and this year it's all leafed out and it's looking good. So
it orange?
No, I don't remember it being orange. It was white like water. I mean, clear.
Oh,
yeah.
Well,
I don't know why that would be orange.
It's all dried now, and I can kind of dust it off with my fingers.
Okay.
So it's not doing it anymore.
Good. Get some tree seal and put the tree seal on all your cuts.
Okay.
Yeah, and that'll help.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Sure. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty. That's... Just
is that the show?
Yeah, well, close. We got another 40 seconds somewhere in there.
You're looking at the clock and it doesn't tell you?
It tells me, and then I'm thinking something and I'll say it. Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. What I'm gonna do with you. I was talking about shrub beds. You don't have to water them as much, but, you know, you might have to, once they're established, you might have to water them twice a month maximum in the middle of the hot summer. That's it. I got shrubs and stuff all over in my place, and there's trees I don't water maybe once a month if they're lucky and I feel energetic enough to run a bucket of water up to them, you know, because they're kind of on the hill. But I feel sorry for them. Give them a drink.
Yeah.
But there's some months I skip them, and they don't even know
they don't know.
Skipped.
Nah.
Nah, they just suck it up and go, okay, we're tough. We don't need you, Winters. So, thanks for listening.
Yep.
Come out and see us. We're out on Highway 99 south of Winston. Can't miss us. Big Green Roofs.
All righty. What's your phone number out there, Mike?
679-8224. Yes.
All right. Good to see you.
Thank you. Good to be here. Good to be seen.
Yeah. All right, stay tuned for the afternoon report next on News Radio 1240 KQEN.